You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, July the 3rd, one day away from Independence Day. Talking a little bit of Derrick Rose today on the show. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the podcast. Happy early 4th of July to you guys. We'll have one more episode this week as we look ahead to Summer League a little bit. I'll put that up tomorrow, Thursday at some point. But today, the latest update on the lack of news about the Detroit Pistons and free agency. We'll also pass along the new players on the Pistons Summer League team. Again, we'll talk more about Summer League tomorrow. But the bulk of the show, we're going to talk to Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls, friend of the program, about Derrick Rose and what's going on with Chicago's offseason as well. You know, thinking about Derrick Rose, we've talked about it on the show the last couple days, the newest Piston. Well, I guess second newest Piston. Tim Frazier is the newest Piston. But, you know, how to feel about Derrick Rose. Obviously, there's some on-court stuff that we can talk about, and we go a little bit into the Derrick Rose stands and also what it means for Derrick Rose to be the newest member, the second newest member of the Pistons. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Again, that Twitter handle is Locked On NBA Net. But no, nothing really going on with the Pistons on the free agency front right now. Solidified the backup and third string point guard positions with Derrick Rose on Sunday and then Tim Frazier on Monday later in the day. And no, nothing in the front court yet. So the news is that they lost a chance on Jared Dudley, no longer have him in the fold, as the Pistons did meet with him on Sunday night, but he signed with the Lakers on Tuesday. Everyone waiting on Kawhi Leonard. At what point do we start getting a little critical of Kawhi Leonard as a guy who's kind of dragging this free agency on? And I know it seems insane in a prior world, the Wednesday after the start of free agency on Sunday night would not be dragging your feet. But we all know what's going on in today's NBA and that most of the stuff is being taken care of. Maybe a little gamesmanship on the behalf of Leonard. Maybe he knows where he's going and wants to, stick it to a couple of those teams out there. But I do have a theory that maybe JaVale McGee is waiting to see what happens with the Lakers, too. That's a team that he played on last year. Maybe there's some interest there. The Pistons met with JaVale McGee on Monday night, the Flint native. Seems like forever ago at this point, but maybe McGee feels like he can get some money from the Lakers if they strike out on Kawhi, which would not be a terrible theory on his part. So maybe we'll see him kind of make his decision after everything else shakes down with the Pistons kind of in his back pocket as the fallback move. And if that's the case, then the Pistons have to move on to whatever their next options at backup center would be. DeMarcus Cousins is still out there, obviously believed to be out of the Pistons' price range, but maybe a guy who slips completely through the cracks yet again. Boban is out there as well. Kyle O'Quinn. Robin Lopez, I believe his interest with the Bucks has not been solidified quite yet. Who knows there? Tyson Chandler off the Lakers. Maybe he returns there. Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol, Nene. A lot of guys that would have been really nice to have several years ago, but would be, you know, maybe serviceable at this point. Maybe you can wait out Summer League and see if someone does a really nice performance in Summer League to where they might deserve an offer to, Eric Moreland type of deal, guy who impresses in that regard. And then, but another couple interesting names out there are Zubac with the Clippers and Kem Birch of Orlando. Those guys are both restricted free agents, and maybe the Pistons could throw their biannual exception after those guys and wait out to see what their teams do in terms of matching that offer sheet or not. So some options out there for the Pistons, and then the belief that there might be another, third-string power forward or third-string big, maybe a combo forward coming in after that either way. But some other tangential Pistons news to hit today. Glenn Robinson III signing with the Warriors. Should get some shots there. The Pistons turned down the team option on his second year of a contract after his horrific one season in Detroit. Good luck to Glenn Robinson III, the former Michigan player. Anthony Tolliver to Portland. I'm not sure if we passed that along yesterday or not. But good luck to former Piston, former two-time Piston, Anthony Tolliver, in the Roses, the City of Roses. I don't know, the Rose City? I know that Rose City is where my cabin is. That's not what it is. But I know they call it the Rose Garden, but do they call it the Rose City? I was just there a few months ago. I should know this. But former Piston James Ennis, not in the fold for Detroit again, as he is staying with Philly on a two-year deal. So congrats to all those guys. And predictably, right as we were posting yesterday's podcast, the Pistons announced the Summer League rosters. We'll pass that along here now. It consists of Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Khairy Thomas, as we knew. It also consists of Sekou Doumbouya, the first-round pick, and Davidas Servetus, the second-round pick. The roster right now does not have Jordan Bone, the 57th pick of the second round of the draft, and that's because the trade won't be made official until July 6th on Saturday. So it means he's, from what I can tell, very likely missing at least the first Summer League game on Friday because of it. Very dumb NBA rules that they can't just get a waiver going or something like that and let Bone play some Summer League practices and the first at least game, maybe two games, with his team out in Vegas. The Pistons will open up on Friday with the Croatian national team at 3 o'clock in Las Vegas. We'll talk more about Summer League tomorrow, but I wanted to go through the rest of the roster. The other players that we've already talked about include Benny Boatwright of USC, Dante Hall of Alabama, Jared Utah, formerly of Iowa, Lewis King, who came out of Oregon, who's believed to be on a two-way deal with the Pistons, and Matt McQuaid of Michigan State. Speaking of former Spartans, Matt Costello of Bay City, the former Spartan big man. He played last year in Italy. He's with the Pistons in Summer League. He played with the Spurs for a little bit in one season. Also a former Michigan Mr. Basketball. So good to get him in the fold. A couple of guys called over from Grand Rapids last year. Michael Bethea Jr., a 6'6 guard who went 11 and 3.5 rebounds last year. He's from Chico State. A couple of young guys, both of them. And Todd Withers being the other guy, a 6'8 forward, averaged 7 and 5 last year with the drive. He's out of Queens University of Charlotte. And a couple of new additions, guys that I did not know. Will Cherry from Montana. He played in the G League for the Santa Cruz Warriors last year. A point guard, 6 feet tall, 9 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. 28 years old, effectively ending, you know, Kalen Lucas pretty much not coming back to the Pistons. He's out there in free agency still. Been in contact with his agents myself. So no news on Kalen Lucas right now. But, you know, kind of aged himself out of Summer League a little bit, and we'll see if he lands somewhere on a two-way deal, if he's going to head back overseas. Interested to know how that all shakes out. But interesting to have a 28-year-old point guard, the oldest guy in the Pistons Summer League, come in from Montana there, Will Cherry. Maybe that means that they're a little bit higher on him and might think there's a chance that he could help out the big club at some point, or you know, maybe entertain possibly a two-way
deal. And thanks again
so we'll
to Matt Peck of Lockdown Bulls
Reed
for joining us. We will have one more episode.
I'm not going to talk about Marquise
Friday
Reed
off
until
the
4th of July holiday,
Summer League,
and
where we're
going to
preview the Summer League
for the Detroit Pistons that
deserve the
at
Google
3 o'clock
for
Eastern
him.
Time.
But just wanted to pass
on Friday
the
against the
had
Croatian
national team
that we talked about,
and we'll talk about
draft
what to
process
expect
and things to look
and
forward
the results
to
of all those visits
there.
Were that Jordan Bone
and,
he came in once
doing that with you guys tomorrow, but again,
and then guys from the Summer League team
of the Lockdown
Dante Hall, Lewis King, and Matt McQuaid.
Thanks for listening.
All those guys came in visits, but then we're talking about, you know, over 100 guys that also came in that have no connection to the Pistons right now. And I'm not criticizing that part of it. You want to bring in as many guys as possible, and maybe down the line they'll end up with the Drive or the Pistons in some regard. But just kind of funny how that whole process goes. As Ed Stefanski says, he believes that process is broken. And from the Pistons' end, I would say I agree with him, certainly at this point. But up next, we're going to talk to Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls about Derrick Rose and a little bit about Chicago's offseason. That's next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes!
All right, and now we're being joined by Matt Peck. You can find him at Bulls_Peck on Twitter, host of the Locked On Bulls podcast, and also one of the hosts of the Bulls Outsiders show on NBC Sports Network in Chicago, a multimedia star in the Windy City, and we are pleased to be joined. I knew him before he was a huge multimedia star, but here's Matt Peck joining us on Locked On Pistons.
What's up, Shook? Thanks for having me again, buddy. Always a pleasure to chat with you. I think multimedia star is a bit of an exaggeration.
Oh, I don't think so.
It's very kind.
But the news broke on Saturday that there was mutual interest between the Pistons and Derrick Rose, and the wind continued to blow that way until free agency opened on Sunday, and 2 years, $15 million for Derrick Rose to join the Pistons. And it's been a few years since Derrick Rose played in Chicago, but the first, obviously the place that everyone thinks about when you think about Derrick Rose is where he was from, which is Chicago, and where he made his bones as an NBA star. And I got to admit, as I talked about on Locked On Pistons the last couple of days, Matt, just kind of, I've been a formerly unbiased observer of Derrick Rose. I didn't really know what to think, kind of avoided the noise in the last few years, the off the court stuff and some of the, you know, his play, which has been erratic for a couple of years and mostly good this past season in Minnesota. And really around the country, you know, one of the more polarizing guys in the league. But of course, Chicago, where he's from and where he was, you know, one of the best players in the league for a few years. Tell me what to think about Derrick Rose. Tell me what I should, as a Pistons fan, be excited about and maybe a little bit leery about here, as he's obviously in a different part of his career.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's different when you talk about how Chicago fans feel about Derrick Rose versus just NBA fans in general, and how bringing him to Detroit to me is a much better option than maybe some of the other possible avenues that Derrick could have gone down. Personally, I was relieved. I never thought it was very likely that the reunion was coming that Bulls fans and Rose stans kept talking about, bring him back home to Chicago, be a veteran leader for this young team, let him come off the bench after what he showed in Minnesota last year. You know, flashes of his old self. He's not flying above the rim anymore, but certainly a guy who can score you points off the bench, break defenses down off the dribble, and for a while was a very hot shooter behind the three-point line, which was never really an element to his game when he was younger in here in Chicago. As far as looking at it from the perspective of like Pistons fans, I think it's a really smart move for everybody. You know, your team was kind of in a pretty strapped situation cap-wise, didn't have a whole lot of options as far as money to spend in free agency. And, you know, Reggie Jackson is basically your bona fide starter. But other than that, you guys really didn't have a whole lot of backcourt depth coming into this season. So it makes sense for you guys. And I think most importantly, it makes sense for Derrick Rose in that Detroit is a, no offense to you and your listeners, and Pistons fans everywhere, but a small market team that doesn't get a lot of a national attention. Had Derrick come back to the Bulls, or had Derrick gone to like be a sidekick of LeBron's Lakers or something like that, or even like gone down to Miami or gone to one of the New York teams, it would have been a media frenzy. And I think going to a small market team with less national coverage that is kind of expected to be a quasi-decent middle-of-the-pack team in the Eastern Conference, maybe a playoff team, maybe a fringe playoff team, will be a good place for Derrick to land, because he can just focus on playing basketball without the ridiculous expectations and the heavy burden of a giant media story like him going to a big market team, especially if that were coming back here to Chicago.
And like you said, kind of the focus not being on the Pistons nationally, and obviously no debate about that, but and along with that comes the lack of ability to attract big name free agents. And I think that Arne Tellem, being the guy who runs the Pistons right now as the advisor to owner Tom Gores, the former agent of Derrick Rose, obviously that has a little bit to do, or quite a lot to do, with Derrick Rose joining the Pistons and an opportunity at a reasonable contract. We've seen a lot of the point guard numbers and contracts out there that, especially looking at Charlotte and Terry Rozier as guys just money all over the place. So $7.5 million a year for Derrick Rose for a short term doesn't sound too bad, especially with the guy who can come in the second unit for a Pistons team that obviously lacks quality depth. And, you know, sometimes watching this second unit last year, it was just kind of a disaster. Who's going to score the ball? And at least, you know, Derrick Rose isn't the most efficient player, but he's going to be someone who can get you a bucket at the end of the shot clock, or, you know, have quarters or even games where he kind of carries you sometimes, even at his age and even at his where he's at right now.
Absolutely. I mean, he showed us that he can still be a contributor in a reserve role in Minnesota. The guy knows how to get buckets. I mentioned the fact that at the onset of the season, he was inexplicably hot from the three-point line. You saw those numbers fall off a cliff in the back end of the season. So in November and December, he shot 56.3 and then 40.6 from behind the three-point line, which compared to Rose's career numbers were just inexplicable and out of nowhere. In January, that fell all the way down to 19%. And then February and March, like less than 10% from behind the three-point line. So, I mean, it was a streak of hot shooting, and then it was a giant slump. But I think either way with Bros, you're not too concerned about that three-point percentage. If he can just keep it somewhere respectably in like the low to maybe mid-30s, then that's great. But that's not the element of his game that I think the Pistons will appreciate the most. It is the ability to create shots for himself and break defenses down off the dribble, because he might not be the same athletic freak he was 8 years ago, but he can still, as we saw in Minnesota last season, get buckets. And you know, as you were saying, for your Pistons who kind of needed that, and it was tough to watch that second unit at times last season, believe you me, those of us here in Chicagoland know what it's like after this past season to watch a second unit that should probably be in the G League and not the NBA. So I feel you there. Derrick Rose will certainly be some welcome points for that bench.
Yeah, and so let's talk about Derrick Rose, and we're not going to get into the sexual assault case. We addressed that the other day and Locked On Pistons, and you know, that's one of those he said, she said things that we're never going to have a firm answer on, and how, you know, and it's a serious topic, obviously, and nothing that should be taken lightly. But then again, the old innocent till proven guilty kind of thing. So again, not going to touch that here with Matt Peck today. But I mean, as far as off the court, kind of, I mean, he's a quiet guy, but also an honest guy a lot of times in interviews. How would you kind of characterize Derrick Rose as like kind of a guy who fits in, not really locker room wise, because that's stuff that maybe we don't know. I know he was beloved in Minnesota as far as a teammate with the Timberwolves these last couple of years. But I mean, is he a guy that Detroit fans, you feel like, are going to embrace quite a bit in terms of his role as a guy in the community and even one of the bigger names on this team going forward?
I mean, I think he's certainly more mature than he was when he was in Chicago. He was very young and has always been an introvert. Never loved talking to the media. Obviously, never really enjoyed that part of the job. Some NBA players are great for a quote before the game or after the game. And Derrick Rose was never that guy. He never liked talking to the media. And I always felt some sympathy towards him for that, because he just wasn't very good at it. And he was always uncomfortable. And you could tell that he was uncomfortable when he had 18,000 microphones shoved in his face. I think all of this life experience, getting traded from his hometown team, going and having that very rough season in New York, where you remember it kind of got lost in all of the frenzy of the civil suit that was going on that you mentioned at the same time. But when he went AWOL from the Knicks a couple of times, and it turned out that he just flew back home to Chicago because he was homesick and was just overwhelmed in that giant market and all of the noise about the Knicks. And I think that all of that life experience has led Derrick to where he is today. Again, you know, you said, let's not talk about the civil lawsuit, so we won't, but I think he's more mature and more capable of knowing who he is as a player. I still think he doesn't love talking to the media, and I still think he is not going to be the veteran leader role that a lot of Bulls fans and Rose stans were yelling at me about over the last couple of months, wanting and advocating for a Rose return to the Bulls. He's never going to be that vocal leader. I think when he was young and very good, he led by example when the Bulls were relevant 8 years ago. Be a business team first guy, win no matter the cost, and you know, don't be Hollywood as hell like the Heatles were. Just be tough-minded, gritty basketball players. It's what Chicago fans appreciate. I'm pretty sure it's the same kind of stuff that Detroit fans appreciate. And at the same time, he's never been the vocal leader. He wasn't here, and I don't think you would expect him to be in Detroit either.
Yeah, and you talked about the Derrick Rose stands, and I'm sure there's some of them here in Detroit. I think they're all over the country. I think they're of a certain age.
They're everywhere.
And I would imagine that in Chicago, it's, you know, times 10 anywhere else. How would you kind of characterize, like I said, I think they're kind of a certain age and maybe came up at a certain time when he was, you know, on top of the NBA at a young age, and the youngest MVP of all time. At 22, you got to hear it like every single day. And like you said, when he was available for a few weeks there in free agency, it's got to be even the volume turned up even more so.
It's crazy. I mean, and even before the season came to an end, when the Bulls were struggling through the second year of a rebuild and riddled with injuries and had no real competent point guards on their roster, that's, you know, the Rose stands were coming out in full force. Sign Derrick Rose. Let's lower the expectations. He doesn't have to be, you know, the MVP that he once was. He can just be a veteran role player off the bench. It makes perfect sense. Look at how well he shot the ball. Look at what he did. He just scored 50 points in a game in Minnesota. Rose is back. All you Rose haters out there, blah, 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 blah. I mean, to me, it is – I mean, as a kid who grew up in the Jordan years, I stand for MJ in the all-ending, you know, GOAT debate. MJ over Kobe, MJ over LeBron, MJ over everyone. 6-for-6 in the finals, enough said. Mm-hmm. I feel like, as you were saying, there's a younger generation of NBA fans that have emerged where the Bulls as the scrappy Chicago team with this young Rose, the Rose who grew from concrete on the south side of Chicago, was so embraced. And even as at times a disheartened Bulls fan in the rebuilding years, you know, the early aughts, the baby Bulls, Derrick Rose becoming Rookie of the Year, a second-year All-Star, and a third-year MVP at 22, not only reinvigorated this city, but reinvigorated me as a Chicago Bulls fan. We fell in love with him, and we fell in love with him hard. But I think the difference is that when you've been around longer and can see what real winning is, a la the Bulls winning 6 titles in the 90s, that is the nostalgia that older Bulls fans feel. But because there is a younger generation now, the hugely powerful emotion of nostalgia is connected to that early 2010s Bulls team and Derrick Rose, because that's the closest they know to winning. It's a team that made one conference finals and lost that conference final series in 5 games. But the MVP version of Derrick Rose and that team is the closest that a younger generation of NBA fans in Chicago knows about winning. And that's why I think the Rose stands are so loud.
And still an NBA fan base that, like you said, not any success since that time of the Rose era, but still a fan base that's very into the Bulls and NBA basketball. Like you said, growing up on the Jordan era and then others growing up on the Rose era, I think it's just it's an NBA market, a little bit unlike Detroit in that, you know, it's kind of a fair weather market here. We've talked about that with the crowds and everything, but the Pistons are going to have to do some stuff to get up to that level again. I got a hunch that Derrick Rose at some point ends up in a Bulls uniform one more time. Maybe it's even like a half a season or something like that at the very end of his career. It just seems poetic to me that Derrick Rose has one more, you know, even a quick run with the Bulls at some point. So I'm telling you to look forward to that. And let's talk about that, Matt, while we have you here, a Central Division rival that we always keep an eye on. And a lot of people are talking about the Bulls as possibly one of those teams that's going to fight into that Eastern Conference playoff hunt this year. A couple of sensible moves, I would say. Veterans that have had pretty nice careers. Thad Young, I think, has been a guy who's been very underrated throughout his career. And then Satoransky from Washington as well. Kind of, from what I can tell, pretty, you know, acclaimed moves so far. Sensible pickups for them. Is that how you kind of size up what the Bulls have done so far?
Yeah, I was a fan of them, and I think most of Bulls fans who are rational and realistic when coming into this free agent summer are also pleased knowing that we addressed some team needs, and the front office actually, counter to some recent examples, were true to their word in what they told us they were going to do. So if you were just like wildly expecting the Bulls to go out and be players for the top tier of names, the Clays, the Kembas, the Kawhis, you know, some people wanted to go back and, like, you know, sign Jimmy and bring him back and all these ridiculously unrealistic things. And even to a lesser extent, but still, in my opinion, unrealistic, going after the second tier of stars like D'Angelo Russell and Brogdon, especially knowing that this Bulls team told us they wanted to address the point guard spot. To me, all of that stuff was unrealistic. When you talk about a team coming off of, as you said, 22 wins. And still, there's some exciting young talent on this team, but they're nowhere near ready to compete. Chicago also has, you know, that unfortunate hand that they're dealt of being a cold Midwestern city, and NBA players usually don't want to go to those places, even though Chicago is a big market. So looking at where the Bulls were realistically, adding Satoransky, a guy who I think will come in and be this team's starting point guard, who can play on ball and, more importantly, play off the ball in what we're hoping will be a multi-ball handler system for the Bulls offensively this coming season. Moments where Zach LaVine is the primary ball handler, moments where you're getting looks for Otto Porter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. Satoransky proved as a starter in 54 games with the Wizards after the John Wall injury that he can be a very efficient player with a very low usage percentage. And that's exactly what this Bulls roster needed at that spot in the backcourt alongside Zach, in my opinion. And then you mentioned Thad Young. Just a exact definition of what Paxson said, with tough-minded veterans who can help the team. He's going to provide some depth in the front court. He can play either of the forward positions, maybe even play some center in some small ball lineups. And most importantly, just the durability. Look at the number of games that that guy has played over the course of his career. And obviously, Doug Collins, who is a special advisor to Paxson and the Bulls front office, is a big fan of Thad Young, coached Thad Young earlier in Thad Young's career. And he is going to be the leader of this team, without a doubt, the elder statesman. He's got plenty of playoff experience, and both good, prudent, but helpful signings for the Bulls. Do they push the Bulls' needle so far that I'm saying it's a lock, the Bulls are going to get the 7th seed or the 8th seed? No. Everything needs to go right, and this team was still very bad defensively last season. You know, Thad Young will help that a little bit, but not a whole lot, and they have to stay healthy. If the Bulls stay healthy and Satoransky and Thad Young play their roles, I could see the Bulls making a 10-15 win jump, but to me, playoffs is still a little optimistic.
And we'll see if Chris Dunn, obviously, seems like the odd man out as Coby White comes in as a first-round pick, that maybe a trade could be down the line for Chris Dunn. And then, like I said, Coby White coming in, we'll see what the strides that Lauri Markkanen makes in year three for him, and then also Wendell Carter as well, coming off an injury for year two. I mean, a lot to be excited about, looking forward for the Bulls, which, you know, wasn't the case 3-4 years ago.
At least there's some semblance of optimism. I've always been kind of in the middle as far as, you know, are you a, you know, glass half full, glass half empty kind of fan. But obviously year two of the rebuild was brutal with all the injuries, the coaching change, the turmoil, the national attention that the near player mutiny got. The Bulls at several times were the laughingstock of the NBA over the past season. But with some nice free agent additions and hopefully a healthy year from all of the key pieces, another jump from Zach LaVine, who's coming off of a really impressive year where he essentially averaged 24-5-5. Markkanen had a really strong month of February when they got Otto in and the pieces started to mesh. Markkanen had a month where he averaged 26-12. Can he do that over the course of an entire season or closer to it? There's some optimism with this young roster now. And it's just a matter of putting things together. And the other key to me is I didn't love the Jim Boylan extension. I still have my doubts about him. But what I did like is that he added some nice pieces to his staff. Chris Fleming, who is a lot more forward-thinking when it comes to NBA offense these days. And then Roy Rogers, who was very instrumental in the development of Clint Capella over there in Houston and hopefully can make some similar advancements for some of these young bigs on the Bulls roster. Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, and the second-round pick that they took from Arkansas, that Daniel Gafford kid. A lot of athletic ability, a lot of leaping ability, but certainly a project. So I like the additions of Fleming and Rogers to Boylan's staff as well.
Gafford, a kid that a lot of the Pistons fans wanted them to take at 30 before they traded out of that spot. So, we'll see how he develops, and it could be a what might have been situation for Pistons fans out here. But Matt Peck, we'll be keeping a close eye on the Chicago Bulls. We're all kind of trying to chase the Bucks and the Pacers, obviously, a couple of teams that are on top of this division, and hopefully we can keep the Cavs down for as long as possible. But it looks like the Bulls will be on a little bit of at least a little bit of a rise this year, and we'll see how that all pans out. It should be fun.
Should be fun, man. Bucks and Pacers are still going to be tops of the division, you would assume, this season. But hopefully the Pistons and the Bulls can make it a very competitive division across the board.
Thanks for the time, Matt. And hopefully there'll be some exciting Pistons and Bulls games down the road someday. We haven't gotten them in many years, yeah. But maybe it'll be some relevancy down the line.
I look forward to not watching Ish Smith completely torch us and our woeful defense this time around.
Well, now it's going to be your own guy, Derrick Rose. We'll see how he those will always be fun. I can imagine that it's a kind of a circus whenever he returns to Chicago for games.
Yeah, man, can't wait. Should be some fun Pistons Bulls games on deck this season.
Thanks for the time, Matt.